1, 2, 3.
I dropped their mic.
I dropped my mic. I like slapped it with my hand on the backswing.
Lols.
Oh, it's gonna be one of those shows.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 11th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend from Combo.com, Jeff Grubb.
Hello. Can I be AJ this episode? I want to be your brother.
No.
Okay.
You could be my brother next week.
Hooray.
I definitely want to thank Mark, Pete, and Chris for covering for us last week.
Nicely done, gentlemen.
Yes, yes. Very well.
I'll make a ringtone out of it.
And this week we're going to just get right back into the fray. We're going to start off with the news. AJ, you have a quiz for me, don't you?
I do. We turned the tables this week.
Exciting. Then after that, we'll do a Let's Go Topical. Then we'll talk about our week in gaming. Have we been playing very many things since we've been gone all week?
I've got some things. Are we doing a lot of pre-E3 talk and Let's Go Topical? Because I think we should.
It's about time.
Yeah. Sure.
Cool.
Did you want to write it?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I already wrote the quiz. Jeez.
Give me a break. It's been a long night.
Cranky. You sound tired as shit right now.
I do.
You're a bright ray of sunshine.
I am. Oh, my God.
Bushy-tailed, right. Bright-eyed. That's what I'm getting over the microphone from you.
Just say I've had enough of MMA for a while. Anyways, so what did I say last? Yeah, our week in gaming, then we'll do other things, and that'll be the show.
Nicely put.
Thank you.
All right, let's go with the big guns first. The iPhone 4 is revealed to the world.
Gyroscope.
I just reviewed a part of it. Never mind, keep going. I can't even insult you correctly today.
I kind of like this. Anyway, after we all kind of saw it, after Gizmodo allegedly stole one, depending where you sit on that argument, they came out, showed the device. It has what they're calling a retina display that's like super dense pixels and it's supposed to look really nice, actually. The entire phone has a glass front and back with some kind of new glass they've developed that is 30 times harder than plastic and very scratch resistant. Then a metal band going around the outer edge is actually the antenna for everything, which will hopefully improve reception for the iPhone. They've renamed the iPhone OS 4 to iOS 4, probably to help it fit better with the iPad. We already kind of knew everything about that, multitasking and all that good stuff. The phone itself has, in addition to a 5-megapixel rear-facing camera with LED flash, it has a forward-facing camera for video chat with a program they call FaceTime, which only works through Wi-Fi right now, but the implementation is kind of nice. When you call someone in your contacts, it will look to see if they're able to talk to you on FaceTime, and you could just set it up through the call. You don't have to, like, call ahead of time, say, hey, go on FaceTime, let's do it. It'll just, if it's available, you can turn it on, which is nice. They also have the capability to shoot and edit 720p 30 frame per second video with the camera. They're releasing an iMovie app for $5 that will let you do all the editing and playing around with that. What am I forgetting? Anything else big that came about the iPhone 4? Anyone?
Nah.
I don't know. The SEC's looking into them for the iAd stuff, but that's not the iPhone 4.
Yeah, there's some controversy with that because they're trying to lock out like AdMob with it, basically. Which, yeah. It'll come out June 24th, $199 for 16 gig, $299 for 32 gig, same as usual. If you are an AT&T customer with a contract renewal anytime in 2010, you'll be eligible to upgrade it day one, which is kind of nice of them. AT&T's got to be scrambling for some good press because between the unlimited data plan removal and you guys hear about this iPad 3G hack that happened?
Yeah, by Goatsy Security.
Yes. Clever. Anyway, they found a way.
What is it?
They found a way to use the ID numbers associated with SIM cards to generate a list of every SIM card ID and email address of every registered iPad 3G user, which included email addresses for, like, government officials, military officials, celebrities, media people. They hacked it, gave the list to Gawker, who I'm sure was more than happy to talk about it, and then alerted AT&T to the leak, which they, I guess, fixed. But, yeah, it's just more bad press they don't need right now. So, yeah, you guys sound excited about that.
Thrilled.
Moving on. Ubisoft has teased the next Assassin's Creed with an image on their Twitter account, and it looks to be set in Egypt, which I think is kind of out of left field.
Well, wasn't there... Remember when you beat Assassin's Creed 1 and there was all that imagery with the blood that you saw everywhere?
Never beat Assassin's Creed 1.
Jeff, did you beat Assassin's Creed 1?
No, I did not. That game wasn't for beating. It was for playing the first hour and then setting it down.
Yeah.
All right, listen, everyone else. When you beat Assassin's Creed 1, you get the... there's a lot of images and symbols hidden around that you can look at, and a lot of them were Egyptian. So a lot of people actually thought Assassin's Creed 2 was going to be Egyptian, and then it being in Italy was kind of surprising. And I guess this is surprising in that it's not surprising.
Well, it's just interesting that it seems to be going back in time rather than continuing forward.
I'm assuming it's going back in time unless they're like doing... I don't know what Egypt was up to, you know, like in the 16th century.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
So I guess, you know, probably see more at E3, I would imagine.
I still want Assassin's Creed in, like, Revolutionary War New York.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Would be awesome. Keep going, though. I'm just a bitter old man.
Okay. It has been revealed that there will be no actual co-op in the campaign mode of Call of Duty Black Ops, but they'll have, like, a mode similar to Spec Ops. Because I think they would kind of make it sound like it was going to be four-player co-op when they first announced the game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what it sounded like.
So I think they kind of came out and clarified that, which I didn't want to do in the first place. I don't know. Next. Lord of the Rings Online is going free-to-play in the fall after the apparently successful transition for Dungeons & Dragons Online going free-to-play, both of them made by Turbine. I remember playing WoTRO when it first came out. It was kind of reskinned World of Warcraft with Lord of the Rings, but, you know, it was pretty good. I'll play it for free.
It had achievements before World of Warcraft did.
That is true. It was revolutionary in that sense.
Yeah.
So after having some rumors about it, we have confirmation of MotorStorm Apocalypse, which has me kind of excited. Basically, it's like, you know, where Split Second had things blowing up. This will have things blowing up, but it's MotorStorm.
It looks good.
Yes, I like how they describe it. It's not post-apocalyptic, it's apocalyptic. Like, it's happening right now.
You are the cause of the apocalypse, you and your big rig.
Well, that's interesting.
It is. I wonder if that'll be in 3D.
Is that a segue?
Kind of, because they released the 3D patch for the PS3 this week, which brings...
So it's not a kind of a segue, it is a segue.
Exactly. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I said that, and I was like, oh, I may as well bring this up. But yeah, you could play Wipeout, MotorStorm, Pacific Rift, what's the game, the twin-stick shooter that starts with an S? I always forget its name.
Super Stardust HD.
Yeah, that's the one. That's 3D and some other stuff. If you have, like, a $6,000 Bravia TV, you know, have fun.
Have the 3D TVs, like, have they hit yet? Like, are they...
Yeah, they've hit, but they're ridiculously expensive. Yeah, I mean, okay. Give it a year, and they'll come down in price.
There's the one that always has the commercial, where they're like,
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, yeah, it's Samsung.
You guys are crazy. How'd you get that Samsung for what he just did with his voice?
I know that commercial.
Fair enough.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have monsters and aliens in your home? We did.
Damn it.
Yeah. Dreamcast games are coming to the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade, as everyone kind of guessed months ago. They'll be starting off with Sonic Adventure and Crazy Taxi in the fall. They'll be getting high-def treatment, surround sound, leaderboards, all that fun stuff. Hooray! God, you guys just don't care about anything today.
I don't know. I've played both of those games frequently. They re-released Sonic Adventure on GameCube years ago, and it was still Sonic Adventure then. You know when I loved Sonic Adventure like 11 years ago.
I don't know what game they could release from the Dreamcast that would get me excited. Like, it's
Choo
like,
Choo Rocket with online multiplayer?
Okay, yes. Okay, very good point. But they don't need to do that.
I have a Dreamcast.
Yeah, they just need to do that on XBLA and PSN. Like, just update it with like the whole Supreme makeover.
I want them
style.
To bring like Phantasy Star Online version 2 to Xbox Live Arcade.
That would be awesome.
No, Phantasy Star Online was something I cannot play again. I tried. They kept re-releasing that also.
Well, they should just
I
do an XBLA like specific version, like an updated, like, you know, Phantasy Star XBLA PSN version, where they like kind of take it and update it for these lighter downloadable models, but still kind of retain the same game.
That's a hell of a title you just came up there for.
Yeah,
it.
I think that should be the official title.
All right, let's see if this gets you excited at all, Mike, or elicits some sort of response from you. Telltale has announced that they have reached a licensing agreement with NBC Universal to do episodic adventure games based off Jurassic Park and Back to the Future.
Meh.
Oh, man, that was something.
I don't know.
But Telltale games are kind of specifically and notoriously low budget and kind of not pretty. They sort of lack polish.
And you need your Michael J. Fox to be super polished.
Right. Wait. No. I don't know. My point is, these games will be kind of fun, but they're not going to be the Back to the Future and Jurassic Park games I've always thought of.
Well, I'm curious. What have you always wanted them to be?
Kind of more like that Ghostbusters game when that happened. Sort of like this, you know, they're really swinging for the fences.
All right, that's fair.
Big AAA games, even if it doesn't really come off perfectly.
That's fair.
Well, I don't know. If I'm being a downer about this, am I being, like, anti-small game developers?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're filled
with
hate.
Shun the non-believer.
Sticking with it. I'll tell Telltale that when I see them at
E3. Oh, yeah. So we have a sudden rash of Mortal Kombat in the news. First, there was this mysterious video that appeared online that no one was quite sure what it was until Jerry Ryan, who was Sonya Blade in the video, confirmed that it was a movie pitch idea to Warner Brothers on how to maybe do a new Mortal Kombat movie, to which I say go for it, because it was actually really sweet.
You know what the best part of this was?
Hmm.
I got to find out that Jerry Ryan is on Twitter. Now I can follow her.
That's nice. Also, we found out that the guy who played Johnny Cage in that, he does a lot of mocap, and he was actually the mocap actor for Nathan Drake in Uncharted when it was, like, all the acrobatic stuff.
Oh, cool.
Interesting.
Yes. So then, like, 3 days after that, I guess Ed Boon decided it'd be a good time to announce that, yes, a new Mortal Kombat game is coming. 2D, back to the gore and M-rated glory of ye old Mortal Kombat, and, yeah, it looked like Mortal Kombat. Should be fun.
It did. It did look nice. I was happy with it.
Into some bad news, but not unexpected news. Valve has announced Portal 2 is delayed into 2011, with a humorous little press release that ended with, "Making games is hard."
Well, whatever. That's fine. I guess it just means Red Dead is probably definitely the game of the year, then.
You're discounting Mass Effect 2 already?
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Red Dead. So there's that announcement.
See if people remember this come January.
Yeah, year over.
Right. And you didn't even beat, like, Mass Effect 2.
Oh, I know.
Red
well,
Dead.
I was going to play.
Been in Mexico yet?
I was going to play Red Dead last night, and I realized I left my friggin' hard drive in your Xbox. It's probably in your Xbox right now. You don't even know it.
Why would you do that?
Remember, because we were playing Split Second.
Man.
Yeah.
Then why did it open up? Why was my profile always default?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's not.
Probably is.
I hate you.
I know. Here, you'll like this. They've announced Kingdom Hearts Recoded coming to the DS, which I think is going to be a port of the cell phone game, which is basically a strange retelling of the first Kingdom Hearts.
That's not entirely true. Kind of. I don't really know.
Okay,
very much about
yes,
her.
Here's the pitch of the game. They find Jiminy's journal, but there's weird things in the journal he didn't write, so King Mickey and Jiminy decide to synthesize and digitize the journal to re-explore it, and you basically go through the events of Kingdom Hearts 1 that way.
Okay, so maybe you were right. I kind of been avoiding coded details, since I'd always assumed I would never get to play it. I guess now I will.
Yeah.
Apparently there's at least a couple important story things in there.
Well, I would hope.
So, sure.
All right, this one's for Jeff. Civ 5 is coming out September 21st.
Oh. Yeah, so that's the day I will no longer be getting anything done for months and months.
Should be good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that as well. For Mike, we have a new Marvel vs. Capcom 3 trailer. Did you see this?
No.
That is the sound of Mike clicking on GameTrailers.com.
When did this come out?
Like, literally 20 minutes ago.
Are there new characters?
There is. It's basically an extended version of the first trailer with an added scene of Dante versus Deadpool.
Eyes are gonna watch now.
It also ends with what might be the first glimpse of the story of the game as Ryu and Wolverine stop their fight to look at a mysterious explosion in the sky.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Shit is getting real. And then the last thing we have is the big, big, big reveal of the upcoming new features to Rock Band 3. This is also known as a segment called AJ Was Right, because it's going to be friggin' sweet. So the first big thing they showed with this game, and I'm just going to talk through this while Mike watches that trailer, the first thing they talked about was the keyboard peripheral. It is a 2-octave, full-blown MIDI keyboard, and when you're playing the game, it's broken up into 5-color sections, so like any key within that section will like count as green or count as blue or whatever, and you'll be playing on this typical note highway, unless you go into the newly revealed Pro Mode that is available for all instruments. Pro Mode on the keyboard is literally all, what is it, like 22 keys or whatever, are one-to-one on the screen coming down, and you have to basically play the piano. Like, you can do what you're doing in this game and then take it to a piano and play the song. The Pro Mode for drums, it's using the existing cymbal peripherals that are out now, and I think they're going to be releasing a brand new version of the cymbals to go along with this that are better build. And there will be actual distinction between cymbal notes and snare or tom notes and whatever. For guitar, they're releasing 2 new guitar controllers. The first one, it has, I think it's 16 rows of fret buttons that are 5 wide. So there's 16 times 5 buttons. So you actually have to move up and down the fret, hit the right string, and then hit the strum bar. The other Pro guitar coming out is a full-blown Fender. 6-string guitar with sensors built into the neck to know where you're pressing on the strings as you play. That will work as just a regular guitar as well. And again, if you're playing the Pro Mode on that 6-string Fender and you unplug the game and keep playing that, you are now playing the guitar. This will actually teach you actual guitar. They've announced some pricing. The Fender is going to be $150. The keyboard is $80. And there will be a bundle with the game and the keyboard. I believe it's $130 for the whole thing, which is not bad. They've announced a bunch of tracks. You can go look at that list if you want some highlights. There's The Doors are in there. Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't know, some other stuff. Go look at that if you want. And they've said that you'll be able to import all DLC and most songs from Rock Band 1 and 2. They haven't really committed yet, though, to saying if they're going to go back and put the 3-part harmonies and keyboard and Pro Mode into all that stuff. I feel like they have to, but it will take a while, and I'm fine if it's like, okay, this week these songs have been updated, and this week these songs. But I feel like that's something they need to at least do eventually, or else you're kind of diminishing the value of Rock Band 3, I think. Thoughts? Anyone?
I wasn't listening to anything because I was watching a trailer, but I like keyboards in Rock Band 3.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Also, I talked to one of the guys that was worked with MTV Games when I was at PAX, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see Rock Band 3 as a major part of Microsoft's press conference in a different way than what's been announced so far.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I think it's going to be, yes, absolutely. Yep. I think they're going to try to drive it home and tie it in with their big announcement. So,
cool. Yeah, I'm super stoked for this. It comes out in the fall, and yay, I want this bad.
Yeah,
I think that's like, it's cool that it actually is teaching you instruments now. And quite frankly, this makes the announcement of Guitar Hero,
whatever,
Warriors of Rock or bullshit, it just look childish in comparison. It really does.
It's definitely the most excited I've been for like a music game in a long time.
I said this on the Squadron Stream Squawk Box. It's the most excited I've been since they first announced Rock Band.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty awesome. And it's like I said, it's nice to see that, I mean, this, aside from Beatles and Green Day, they released Rock Band 2 in 08. They took 2 years to make something big.
whereas the Activision model is just release, 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 release. No, it's nice to see that they kind of went with that.
What do they do for Rock Band 4? Do you think they ever make a Rock Band 4?
That's the thing, yeah. I guess that's an interesting question. Like, where can it go? They're going to have a new instrument. They'll have pro mode for everything. Three-part harmonies. Like, I don't know. What else can you do?
It just seems like, all right, well, we've got it figured out now. This is, like, the official platform. Let's just keep releasing songs for this shit, so.
Yeah. Be nice if they did that. I don't know if they will, but it'd be nice.
I think it'll at least be 2 years again before Rock Band 4 and probably
right.
3 or 4.
Honestly, I mean, you may not even see Rock Band 4 come out until there is, like, a next console
right.
generation.
Right.
That might be the only thing that would kind of move their hand in that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So, yeah, that's my news.
Good job.
Thank you. Do you want your quiz now?
Sure.
All right. This is the long-fabled return of the Great Canadian Mike Zor's Gaming Quiz. We haven't done one of these in a while. 5 questions and a bonus question. You'll never guess what the theme for this quiz was. Well, here, you'll find out after I ask the first question. Your first question is, when was the first
E3? First E3 was in 1995.
Correct.
Ha-ha.
Okay, next question.
You thought I didn't know that.
I was hoping you would, actually. The next question, before E3 was in Los Angeles, where was it?
Las Vegas.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. I'll give it to you.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm here for you.
Las Vegas. Excuse me. Next question. In 1998, Half-Life made its big E3 debut right before its release. There were 2 other high-profile shooters shown that year. What were they?
1998?
Here, I'll give you a hint. One came out eventually. One never did.
Interesting. Was one like Unreal 2? And I can't think of a shooter that never came out. Well, oh, Duke Nukem Forever. Okay, Duke Nukem Forever and Unreal 2 are my guesses.
Duke Nukem Forever and Prey.
Oh, Prey.
Yes. All right, you're 2 for 3. You're still good. In 2003, Halo 2 was shown with an experimental feature that actually did not make it into the final game. What was that feature?
Halo 2?
Yes.
Multiplayer.
Experimental. No, it had multiplayer.
I'm just joking.
I don't know. Video replays, let's say that.
That it?
Yeah.
Nope, it's lighting engine. Remember that first trailer that had like all the crazy shadows and stuff?
Like the self-lighting stuff? Like when it was like self-shadows and stuff?
Right.
Okay. I thought that was in there. I guess I did.
Nope, never did make it. I was always disappointed.
Right, that was always such a big deal when they were announcing it. All right, fair enough.
What was the first year that E3 was shown on television?
Oh, jeez. What do you mean? What capacity?
Like, they broadcast it on like, you know, press conferences and show floor footage.
I'm going to say 2005.
Correct.
Heard it again, Mike.
Yes. All right, you're 3 for 5. Let's see if you can pull off a B average here with a bonus question. So,
AJ, there's only failing and passing in the quiz.
Okay, then let's see if you could not fail as hard. Now, we all know that E3 stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo, but in 2007 and 2008, there was a different official name for the conference. What was that name?
2007, 2008? Mm-hmm. You're not talking about free for all, are you?
No.
No, I don't know. Jeff, do you know?
No idea. I know that it did have something different, but I don't remember what it was.
It was the E3 Media and Business Summit.
Jeez.
E3
Live. It was more of a summit than a conference, wasn't it?
Yes. All right. That's it. You failed.
Yeah. It happens.
Pretty much every episode, someone fails.
All right. I'm done. Go ahead, Mike. Wake up.
I'm up. All right, here you go. AJ,
yes.
Start. You care about Mortal Kombat again.
Yes. I would like to see them go forward with that film idea. I think that was cool. The game itself, it'll be Mortal Kombat, I guess. I don't know. Like, I wasn't willing to shell out $60 on Mortal Kombat versus DC. They're going to have to really impress me with the game at E3 to get me to want to shell out $60 on that, too. But at least it's on my radar again, and I certainly haven't been able to say that for quite a long time.
Jeff?
I don't care. I think that video was kind of hyped up, and a lot of people seemed to really like it, and I kind of see why, but I just, something about it didn't really work for me. It seemed cheesy, which I guess is okay, it's Mortal Kombat, but I don't know, it just wasn't as good as everyone built it up to be. As for a new game, I know I won't buy it. Like, there's just not enough there. There's never been enough there for Mortal Kombat, at least not since, like, 2 in the arcade when you're, you know, talking about it with your friends. But, yeah, there's just not enough there for it to really warrant, like, a $60 purchase. So, if it maybe for, like a retro revival Mortal Kombat, like, on, like, a downloadable game, I might be into it. But beyond that, no way.
What if they did, like, a Super Street Fighter 4 thing that was, for, like, $40?
I think that'd be the splitting the difference, which would be better than trying to go a $60 route, I think.
Mm.
All right, Jeff, too many game reveals are happening before E3.
No. I think that E3 is going to be huge, and all the game reveals that we've seen so far have been for games that are going to get lost in the shuffle otherwise. They're going to get completely ignored. There's going to be some really big announcements, I think. Everyone that's like seems to be in the know seems to have like 15 things that they can't say yet, but they're really excited about, and they're probably very big announcements. And any game that's getting announced before E3 is a planned, strategic, like just like that Mortal Kombat announcement. It's like they want to get it out there before it gets lost in the shuffle. So, and I want to have this information so I don't, you know, forget about some things just because I'm so blinded by something that's so much bigger.
AJ?
I will agree. Yeah, like, this has always kind of been the case. People will kind of early announce games that they're worried will get lost in the shuffle at E3. And there's been some decent announcements, too, which makes me confident that there will be some really good announcements at E3 proper.
All right, AJ. Valve's E3 surprise will be Half-Life related.
It has to be. Please, can it be Half-Life related? There is a rumor that it's going to be a Source Engine 2 announcement, which I hope would go along with Half-Life 3. If that happens, I'll just cry like a small girl. Like, that would be the greatest news ever. Like, honestly, like, it can't be another Left 4 Dead. It can't. You can't do Left 4 Dead 3 this fast. I honestly don't think you can. I defended Left 4 Dead 2. I can't defend a Left 4 Dead 3 this fall. Like, that can't happen. And the only other thing they could possibly do is, like, a new Counter-Strike, which would be cool, but I don't think it merits the kind of hype they're building towards it. It has to be Half-Life. It has to be.
Jeff?
I think just by process of elimination, like, if Portal's going into 2011, and I think they did kind of say that they wouldn't do another Left 4 Dead. I remember hearing that somewhere, at least not this year. I think, yeah, it's going to have to be Half-Life related. In what capacity? I don't know. Is it going to be just a, you know, something for Episode 3 or for the actual 3 proper with Source Engine 2, who knows, but I think it has to be Half-Life related.
Alright then. Jeff, back to you. Telltale is capable of making great Jurassic Park and Back to the Future games.
Yes, I think they are. They definitely are, because it's sort of, especially Back to the Future, it's about the character and it's about the funny, it's about the story. And even Jurassic Park has that to some extent. I think that when you sit down and play these games, if you're into that sort of stuff, if the music's playing and you're doing these interesting things, and you know, not necessarily like action oriented, but you're like laughing the whole time and enjoying yourself, and you're having a really great experience, that it can be only qualified as a great game.
AJ,
I think the thing that'll kind of influence my decision, are they going to conform to the art styles of the source material, or are they going to make the source material conform to, like, kind of their art style? Because they have, like, all their games, from Bone to Monkey Island, Sam & Max, Wallace and Gromit, they all have a similar aesthetic to them that is kind of like that Telltale cartoony style.
Right. Maybe not strong bad, but that already kind of conformed to their thing.
Yeah,
anyways.
So I don't want to see, like, Back to the Future with this really cartoony-looking Doc and Marty running around. I almost kind of want it to look more like the movies would. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off, though. I get the feeling it is going to be cartoony. It'll be fine, I think, if they do that, but, like, especially Jurassic Park. I'm supposed to be, like, terrified running from velociraptors, but it's like this cartoon character doing it. I don't know if that's going to work. So we'll see.
All right, then, AJ, we will see the PSP2 at E3.
I think we have to. Honestly, the PSP is such a dead-in-the-water platform. I mean, for me personally, we had this talk earlier in the week. You were like, oh, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker came out today. And I was like, oh. Now, here's the thing. That is this direct sequel to my favorite Metal Gear game. It's probably a very good game, but honestly, I have no interest in buying a PSP game right now. I just don't want to play anything on it. I don't like the platform. I'm tired of it. Like, they need to get away from it. They need to do something new, something big. Obviously, it might be hard to go up against the 3DS reveal that's going to happen next week, but I feel like they need to do something. They need to at least show an indication that, yes, we're moving that way. It's coming. Maybe not. It doesn't have to be, like, on show four playable, but they at least need to have something to talk about.
I think that, I think that I have no faith in Sony to decide their own direction for any of their platforms at this point. I don't think they have like that strong leadership that's saying, let's go this way. And I think that's the way it is with the PSP right now. And they don't know what they want the PSP2 to be yet. I think they know they have to have a PSP2, and that's why they will reveal something, whether it'll be like just, hey, we're doing a PSP2, here's some like ideas, here's some prototype hardware, here's something on the stage that no one's going to get to touch, and maybe you'll get to play with it at Tokyo Game Show. I think that's the most likely scenario, and they're only doing that because they can't let the 3DS take all of the thunder. They need to do something and be bold, even if they don't know what that something is, which I'm pretty sure they don't. They don't know what to do with it yet, but they're going to do something.
All right, last one. Jeff, Project Natal will impress us despite our reservations.
Yes, maybe. It seems like it has something that'll... there's a potential for it to have just that one like demo, that one tech thing that'd be like, oh, wow, imagine the things they could do with that. I am wowed. But whether that... I think for the most part, we're going to be sort of like, okay, well, what's the point of this? But there might be that one thing that is really amazing that some savvy developer came up with and is impressing everybody. But... you know, I think it's only going to just barely impress us if it does.
I feel AJ? Like Microsoft has some trick card up their sleeve for this, because they've kind of... there's been some leaks of announcements of Natal games, and they're nothing. They're tech demos. They're things I wouldn't even download on XBLA. But they've got, like, this whole Cirque du Soleil thing going on. They haven't really been talking about it. I feel like they're keeping something close to their chest, and they're going to have a really cool reveal. And I would hope they would recognize that they cannot just release this thing with a whole bunch of minigame collections. This needs to come out with a AAA game that's going to attract the hardcore, because quite frankly, they're the ones who are going to go out and buy this thing right away. They need to get them in early and excited. If this has a slow burn, if we don't see real games for this until a year from now, it's already lost. Because you need that early adoption rate to convince developers to develop for it. If it's not there at the beginning, no one's going to make games for it, and it's just stuck in this catch-22. It needs to have something big. I think they'll have something based on the way kind of the build-up to it's been. The only thing that'll kill it is if the rumors of a $149.99 price point are true, because that's too much. If it's triple digits, they're screwed. Even $99.99, I think they could get away with.
All right, I guess we're done here.
Okay, good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I am a great host. All right, what'd you guys play?
Well, you and I got some time in with the co-star mode in Mario Galaxy 2.
That was a long time ago.
Well, we didn't talk about it.
That's all I've been playing also, so.
It was fun.
It's ridiculously fun, actually. We played that Oh god, what was the name of that one galaxy in the bonus world? The impossible spinning rock formations. That took us like 30 tries.
Right.
Anyway, we did that. We did kind of. It was fun because it devolved in the classic, you know, play and pass, taking turns with either controlling Mario or controlling the little star dude. And we had a friggin' blast with it. It was really fun. Jeff, what's your experiences with the game like?
Lots of frustration with like some of the harder levels, but it's the good frustration. I really like. You know, I love the game. I love the music. I love everything about it. I mean, everyone's kind of talked about it to death at this point. But yeah, it really has those levels where it's very difficult, and if you're trying to like not make it easy on yourself, and you know, kind of be honest by getting all the coins or something like that, or like trying to get up everything that you see, and then getting like the comet coins and stuff like that, it could be, you know, controller throwing difficult, but when you do beat a level, it is very rewarding, and that's one of my favorite things about platformers, period, and this one definitely has some of the best of those moments. I don't know, I'm just, you know, constantly, you know, enthralled with the game. Every single level and everything's always new, there's always something there. Yeah, I don't know, I'm glad it came out when it did in the middle of the summer when there's nothing else really for me to be playing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
When nothing else came out, what about Red Dead?
Other than Red Dead, yes. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let's see. Mike and I, we also played some two-player Split Second, which had us
like
whooping
Second.
And hollering. Oh, that game's awesome.
Yeah, I want to play that desperately. That
it's
so good.
So good.
You guys think it's going to be good like a month from now?
Maybe. It is the epitome of what would have been an arcade game 10 years ago, but arcades don't really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just it's. I don't think it's as predictable as people thought it would be, especially when you are playing multiplayer.
Okay, that's what I was worried about. That's what I thought. Like, and that's what
because I think when we first saw the game, they were really focusing on the really big power plays, things like, you know, giant towers collapsing from the sky, and I think people thought that's all it was. But there's a lot of smaller power plays that you could launch too, and you don't know when they're going to get launched. And it's that unpredictability that makes it good. Also, there is a mode in the game. I'm forgetting the name of it. It's basically a time trial race where every possible power play is going off right when you're going by them, which is just ridiculously exciting. I think that's what MotorStorm Apocalypse is going to kind of be like, so that's why I'm excited for that game too. But yeah, it's just great. And I'll tell you what amazes me. For as much crap as blowing up in that game and everything going on, that game's frame rate is rock solid. The tech behind that game is astounding.
That was always what caught my eye whenever I would see it at like a show or whatever, is that it was always like one of the smoothest looking, prettiest games on display, and it would always like catch you out of the corner of your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not surprised that it maintained that.
Yeah, it's great. Let's see. I got the new Prince of Persia, Forgotten Sands.
Oh, you got it?
Yes.
When'd you get it?
Yesterday.
That's why. Did you want to get Alan Wake?
Because. But anyway, the game is sweet. I mean, it's...
Wait, you say because for? You didn't say anything.
I just got it, all right?
Well, why'd you get Alan Wake? We've been told to get Alan Wake.
I know.
George said it was his favorite game ever.
No, it's... I don't know. I got it, okay? It's sweet. It's actually... I mean, it's... If you like the classic Prince of Persia, that's basically what it is. And... I don't know. It's just good. I like that style of game, I guess, where it's more about like environmental navigation puzzles, I guess you'd call it. But yeah, like it's kind of the going back to the sands of time, like not even Warrior Within or Two Thrones. It's kind of got that more of the romantic quality about it, I guess, and everything. And yeah, if you like old school, not old school, but middle school Prince of Persia, yeah, you will like this game.
I'm so confused why you got this and not the other one, and not Alan Wake, though.
Because I just did.
Oh, that's interesting. You sure want to elaborate how?
No, I don't.
I'm just confused, but okay.
So if I had to hanker in to play the original Sands of Time the other day, should I just play this instead?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go out and buy it, sure.
Well, yeah, if I'm willing to spend the money, which I think I would be, maybe, because I... really want to play that style game again. I haven't liked this Prince of Persia really since the first, like, Sands of Time. Obviously not the first one, but Sands of Time.
And I haven't gotten far enough. I know it's in the game because it was at PAX. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I guess there's this whole water freezing mechanic in the game that everyone I've heard talk about the game really likes, where, like, you freeze, like, spouts and waterfalls, and they become poles and walls you could vault off of, and they get really creative with it.
Yeah, well, it sounds good. Yeah, I'm probably going to check it out then. Although I might check out Alan Wake first.
That's fair. All right, that's what I played. Anyone else have anything else they want to talk about?
I don't know. I played a lot of Fire Emblem during the trip. It's Fire Emblem.
I thought it was interesting how you said it doesn't look as good as the Game Boy ones because they use 3D instead of the hand-drawn stuff.
Right. You get over that pretty quickly, though. It's not... It's kind of weird that it doesn't look as good because it's not as... You know, there aren't sprites. It's all 3D polygon models, kind of pretending like they're sprites.
Those imposters. Play anything else?
I've been playing EA Sports Active.
Oh, how's that?
It's actually really good. You know, you feel more like you're working out than WeFit ever did. I mean, it's like the more workouts one too. So it's got like the 6-week challenge, which. You know, tracks your stuff really well, and it makes you feel bad if you didn't work out, so it kind of keeps you on track and stuff like that. And then weighs you every week, and at the end of 6 weeks, if you kept up, it should, you know, show results and stuff. So, you know, I always feel good after I'm from playing it. And I do have the Wii Fit board. It's my girlfriend's, and it does work with that, but it doesn't require it. And you can tell that you'll still feel just as good, and it will work just as well if you don't have the Wii Fit board, which I think is interesting, because I think Nintendo kind of convinced all the moms that, oh, you have to have this if you're going to be working out with the Wii, and, you know, convince a bunch of women to spend money on something they didn't necessarily need. So, I don't know, but it's I still use it, and it works all right. But most of the time, like 90% of the exercises are without it. I don't know. It's a decent workout game. I don't know if it'd be better than like a gym membership or just going out and running. But I think I'll probably know better at the end of the 6 weeks once I've done the whole routine. I'm about 2 weeks in at this point.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it, but the problem is, like, I haven't had, like, a 30-day stretch where I know I'm not going to be going anywhere for an extended period of time.
Right. Right, yeah, exactly.
Maybe once I get back at the end of July, I don't think I'm going anywhere for a while. Mike, don't you want to talk about UFC?
No, I do not.
Oh, so, come now. I played it with you.
Can you talk about it?
I had no idea what the fuck was going on, but once I figured out how to, like, just sucker punch your guy and knock him down, I was having an okay time with it.
Yeah, it's very complicated, but once you learn the nuances of it, it's fun.
So wait, were you guys up all night playing this last night? What's going on?
No,
I wasn't.
Okay.
I have to play it. Let's just say that.
No, fair enough.
All kinds of secrets on this week's podcast.
Yeah, for real.
What's another word for cage?
A trap.
Box with bars.
What?
Box
with bars.
if you put hyphens in there, that is one word. So
never mind.
Why do you need a synonym for cage fighting?
No. Don't worry about it.
Battle in the octagon.
The octagon.
I don't know why that's so funny to me. Okay, I don't know. Did anyone else play anything else?
No.
Okay. Are we done with that then?
Yes.
All right. Shall I move on to downloadable releases? Yes. Okay. DSiWare has something called Flame Tail, Don't Cross the Line, Fire Panic, and Flips, the Magic Faraway Tree. A lot of fire in DSiWare. WiiWare has Real Fishing Challenge 2, Lead the Meerkats, and Zoo Disc Golf. No Virtual Console release. That sucks. Games on Demand, Need for Speed Undercover, and Red Faction Guerrilla. An Xbox Live Arcade, Earthworm Jim HD, which I still need to try out, and Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. It's a tag team versus fighter. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Did you see Mortal Kombat has, like, a tag team fighting mode in it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Everybody wants to be, like, the versus game now.
Yes. Okay, PlayStation Network. PS3 has Death Track Resurrection, Joe Danger, Samimax Episode 1, The Penal Zone, and Voodoo Dice. PSP has Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, Metal Slug XX, and Disgaea Infinite. And they have the PS1 game Bloody Roar 2, the favored transform into animals fighting game from back in the day. Good old games.com closed, even though I had it open. Come on, you're making me look bad. What the hell? Come on. Okay, there we go. King's Bounty, The Legend, and Panzer General 3D Assault came out this week. That's your cue.
No, you do them.
All right, continuing on with the retail releases. First, we have Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker for the PSP. Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands on PC. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 11 for PS3 and 360. Mega Man Zero Collection for the DS. Disgaea Infinite on the PSP. Call of Duty The War Collection came out for 360. This looks to be all the World War II Call of Duty games. Interesting. Tiger Woods 11 also in the Wii. Hearts of Iron 3 Semper Fi for the PC. Green Day Rock Band came out 360, PS3, and Wii. The Last Airbender. I don't see a platform. This might actually be an iPhone game, so sorry. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
You made it, Mike.
That's it. I'm sorry. All right. I'm distracted.
By what?
Nothing. All right. Let's. Okay. Thanks for listening to the Explaining Barrel. It was still a great show, everybody.
Hey, applause.
How much? How long?
We should slow clap ourselves out of this one.
Yes. Thanks for listening to the Explaining Barrel podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at squadronshane.com or at explainingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also find us on the iTunes Music Store and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explainingbarrel.
So have we figured out how are you going to be able to podcast next week?
Probably not.
Okay, so then the running forward plan is Jeff Grubb is going to be my E3 buddy next week. We'll be doing the usual thing we do every year. We'll do three mini shows after each day of E3 and the press conferences. So just look for those on the feed and on the website, and I'll tweet them and everything. And then the following week will be a regular show, and then after that, I go traipsing about Canada for 3 weeks, and Mike, you'll be taking care of that. So now you all know what's going on.
Traipsing. Very busy time. All right, everyone. We're going to be signing off now. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.